A reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about by your adoption to worship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, one God who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. How can anyone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence in me. I'm desperate for you. And I'm desperate for you. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your holy word spoken to me. Without you, and I'm lost without you.
Amen.
Please be seated. Last Sunday, we celebrated the day of Pentecost, and he gave us a powerful sermon here about the coming of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. And today, we are celebrating the Trinity Sunday. Trinity comes from three. One God, three persons. How can one God be in three persons? When we say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, aren't there three gods there? But there is one God. But in the unity of Godhead, there are three eternal and co-equal persons. They are the same in substance, but different in subsistence. And Robert Calvin wrote, since the Council of Nice, that there are two expressions that designate certain either relation between the Father and the Son, and the Father and the Son with the Holy Spirit. They are, the first expression is this, the generation of the Son by the Father. And the second is the procession of the Spirit from the Father and the Son. In our creed we say every time, the Holy Spirit has spoken through the prophet who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And John chapter 1 verses 14 refer to our Lord Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of the God. And John chapter 14 verses 16 and 26, when we go chapter 15, 26, speaks the Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. Let's consider this example in our life. We have got water, one substance, but it has got three states. What are they? Who may give me the state of the water? Please, I'm not a teacher, but let's try our knowledge. What is one substance with three states? What are they? We have got liquid, vapor, and solid. And if we have a book, the book also have got the eyes, the width, and the left. One book, we cannot separate those things. Or when we look at the figure, the triangle has got three sides, but only form one. There are Bibles on your chest there. This is also the way to know how we are quick to find a reference in the Bible. So we're going through references in the Bible to show the unity of God, one God in three persons. The first one who jump quick to find the reference is, may read that for us. First, we have got the reference from the creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Who has found that? Who can read for us? Genesis chapter 1, 20, verse 26. If someone has found, can read that for us?
God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them.
Genesis verse chapter 1, verse 26, yeah?
Oh, that's 27, sorry. Ah. Shall I try again?
Yeah, 26.
Then God said, let me make human beings in our image.
God said, not let me make, but he said, let us make human in our images. That plural coming from one being, our God. Let us go. The expulsion from Eden, the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Who has found that? Genesis 3:22. Who has found that? Can read for us. Yeah, let us go. Even two or three. The man has not become one of us. The unity of God. The second, confusion of the Babel Tower. Genesis 11, verse 7. Who has found that? Amen. Come, let us. Why is God using us as he was only? You see that unity of God in three persons. The generation of the Son, the proceeding of the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son. Let us go. Isaiah chapter 6 verses 8. Who has found that? Quick. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? As we go to the New Testament, baptism of Christ, Matthew 3, 16 to 17. Who has found that? Matthew 3, verses 16 to 17. Amen. The Spirit came and the voice said, this is my son. We have God that Andy knows that better. Baptism formula, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. It said, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. This is the formula that all priests use when they are baptizing people. What is that?
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the world.
Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, nowadays, that is like confusion, yes. I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ put a word in your mouth that you have to say while baptizing someone. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The unity of God. And when we go down there to apostolic benediction, 2 Corinthians verses 13 and 14. What he say there? Where's found that? 2 Corinthians verses 13. Chapter 13 please. Verses 14. Amen. May the love of Jesus Christ, the grace of Jesus, the love of the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit. See that every time we have read those verses, God using us in plural. That plural is the unity, one unity. But none has got various functions. The grace of God, the love of God, the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. That means that God is one. God is not, there are not three gods, there's one God with three different what persons that form one unity. Last year, today we are talking about the building of the church of God. God is calling us to come together, unity, and thank God and I bless God by the Holy Spirit that today, this Sunday, we have come together, all two congregation, the morning one and the 11 one, to do what? To form one unity, one congregation to praise our Lord. Brother, the message of Trinity is the message of love. The message of Trinity is the message of unity. The message of Trinity is the message of the cross. God is calling us to come together. Because His gracious purpose is our salvation. Nothing else. We were lost. God is bringing us to get in a new family. God wants us to enter in His family. And we enter in that family not by adoption. Paul said that. We've been adopted, but by a new, we have to be born again. Adoption helps us to stand as adults in His family. God is not treating us like children, but none. God is treating us as mature children of Himself. So, as God saved us through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are debtors to God. We are debtors to Christ. You know that nowadays, debt is becoming one of the great problems in our world here. Everybody is a fear of debt. Everybody is living on debt. There are countries who have created economic system that other countries are living in debt. And through the debt, they have got obligation. What obligation? You have to pay a percentage of what you get there. And we have got also obligation. Obligation to who? Not to our sinful body. Not to our sinful nature, but we have got obligation to Christ who saved us on the cross. We have got obligation to God who is taking us to the promised land. We didn't receive the spirit of slavery, as Paul said, but we have received that spirit. We are leading us to call forth, He's our Father. Imagine when the people of Israel were in Egypt. God went there to set them free. He's taking them to the promised land where there is a lot of things, where there are good things. But on the way, we know that when they were marching in the wilderness, there has got a lot of thought in their head. Oh, there is no water, there is nothing to eat. And they conspired against Moses. They said that they decided, we are going back to Egypt. They like to go back into slavery, then marching toward the promised land. God is taking us to the promised land. He set us free. We can enjoy our freedom now. But by enjoying that, we should know that we are in debt. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. You cannot enter, have eternal life if you are not born again. He's not talking that to you, to me, who are reading the Bible, who have been teaching by our priest, by our preacher. But he's talking to Nicodemus, the doctor of law, who knows the law of Moses. Jesus now is showing him, Nicodemus, you won't get into eternal life if you're not born again. Nicodemus is asking questions. We heard that through the gospel. But I'm here. How can I go back into my mother womb to be born again? Yes, Jesus told him you have to be born by water and the Spirit. Where God is taking us, our ordinary family has got no means. Each of us has got his own ordinary family. We are living in our own family. But the family, the birth that Jesus has been telling Nicodemus was the birth in the Holy Spirit. This is the family that God wants us to live in. This is the building of God. The church of God is not those stones here, because they may destroy these stones here. Jesus predicted about the temple in Jerusalem. There are years to come that you won't see any stone above another stone here. It will be destroyed. But the building of God, the church, that we have to build here, is the coming together as a family. We have got different family, we have got different culture, but in Jesus' name, in God our Father, we are all coming together. We forgot our family, we forgot our problem, we forgot our race, we forgot whatever orientation we have got, but we are coming together. This is the building of God. This is the family that God wants to build. We are His new creation, born with the Holy Spirit. God, the message of Trinity is love. God so loved the world that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Not to condemn, but to save. In Jesus Christ, we are saved. So we are not condemned. We are not condemned. There was a guy at school. He has his friends. And now, years has gone. His friend went there to study at the university and became judge. One day, they broke that guy in the court. And who was the judge there? It was his friend. His friend recognized him, but he didn't recognize his friend. At the end, he has no means to pay at the court. But when they left the court, his friend called him. He gave him money to pay at the court. Imagine that Jesus Christ saves us. Is there our advocate? That day we will go to see him in heaven. Is our advocate at the same time is our judge? How happy will we be? Because the man who is judging us is our advocate. In Jesus Christ, we have been saved. God loves us. God's action in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ has planted a sign in the history. And what, you know what the Son says? The Son says, believe and live. He's not asking a great thing, brothers. He's asking us only to believe. He told to Thomas, happy who does believe but have not seen. That sign is only for us to believe in the begotten Son of Lord. And He's going to pull upon us His Holy Spirit that will help us to walk as the family of God, to come together to build His church. As heirs of Christ, we have to share. We share His life and His glory. But also, we have to share His sufferings. We Christians, we have got two crosses. The first one is the cross we crucified our old nature. And the second is the persecution and the suffering that come when you believe in Jesus Christ. Imagine how many people over the world are persecuted, are suffering because they believe. The first cross, when we crucified our old nature, Jesus did that for us. And the second one, we have to carry that cross for Jesus Christ. The message of the cross. He died for us, save us. By the love of our Father. The messages of cross is unity. God wants us to come together. And Lord, love should prevail. If there is love among us, yes, we are human beings, but there won't be separation. There won't be rumbling about this. There won't be killing. There won't be massacres and so on. So we have to come together. When we give peace here, the peace of the Lord will be with you. When I'm receiving a peace from you, that peace should bring happiness to my heart. You have not to offer me that peace with sword that is going to wound my hand, that is going to wound my heart. Yes, I give you peace. I'm smiling to give you peace. Is that peace coming from your inner with love? Brother and sister, this is the question we have to ask ourselves. Do we love only by word, or we are active? Let's build the church of God. The building of God is each of us here. The church, we are the living stone that is going to build the church. Not this. They may destroy this. But as we are united and the Trinity in one, we will stand firm. We will enter the new life, eternal life that God is taking us to our promised land, which is a new family, the newborn in his spirit. Note, we have got that power, but God sent us his spirit. The spirit is working within us. So we may lift our head to walk together to our destiny. The problem is, are we ready? This is the question that someone has to ask himself. Am I ready for love? For unity and for the cross. This is my daily bread, your holy word spoken to me. And I'm lost without you. The Lamb, where is the Lamb?